I'd like to welcome everyone here tonight for the second night of the Missions Conference here of Cornerstone Bible Church. It was such a great night last night, and we just look forward to tonight and the speakers that are going to be here with us. Please stand with me for our first hymn, The Great Send the Light. A call comes ringing o'er the restless wind. Send the light, send the light. There are souls to rescue, there are souls to save. Send the light, send the light, send the light. Bring the blessed gospel light, let it shine from shore to shore.
Father God, we ask that you bless tonight. May you bless the time of worship, not only with the music, but with the messages that our people have brought tonight. May you bless the speakers. May they speak your truth and help encourage us to be that light to the world, to send the light of the gospel of Jesus Christ to others so that they may have eternal life. We worship you, Lord, this evening. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Well, good evening. My name is Peter O'Neill. I'm the senior pastor here. And those of you online, we're glad that you could join us as well. Did you guys, though, here in the building have a good meal for those of who showed up at 5:30? Yes. I want to especially thank Thomas and Jennifer Henson and the rest of the crew that you guys had that helped you put that all together. That was awesome. I didn't know what we were having tonight, and I'm glad I came, yes. So it was very good, very delicious. Well, welcome to our 2023 Missions Conference here at Cornerstone Bible Church. If you missed last night, we do have a video. We taped it, we live streamed it, so it is online. And you can watch it whenever you like. But we had a wonderful time last night. We had different various stories being shared. We talked about our Greek missionaries that we support, Ayuris and Dina Petru. And had Tristan Taylor, we had Jake Prochaska, and I'm forgetting the last one. What's the last one? We had one more here. James, our elder at our church. He actually had some really good words last night, so thank you, James. They're very memorable, yes. No, I encourage you to watch it. It was actually a really exciting night. It was really amazing to hear those stories. Oh, Susie Prochaska. There we go. Thank you. Can you give a round of applause to Susie Prochaska and James Corcoran? Yes. I'm so glad you're my brother and sister in Christ, because you have to forgive me. So. But our goal this weekend is to help you capture that spirit, that light of supporting missionaries, mission organizations, and even going on short-term missions trips that help spread the gospel or just help people and serve people in need. We have some fantastic speakers tonight. We have five different people that are going to share with us tonight. One serves as a missionary to support and raise up leaders in various places of the world. Three have recently been on a short-term missions trip to Jamaica. And one is our local Good News Club leader who is reaching the kids right across the street right here at Camp Creek Elementary. So our first speaker, though, is Carrie Childry. Carrie currently serves with Paraclete Missions Group. He has previously served with Frontiers, Dom Ministry, Partners International, and the American Council for Asian Christian Academy. I hope that I got them all right, though, so hopefully you can correct me. As a Paraclete Associate, though, he has come alongside and assisted the World Trust, Thrust International, and the Adoptive People Clearinghouse, and the U.S. Center for World Missions. You've been around a lot, haven't you? You do a lot of stuff, Carrie. Yeah.
Pretty old.
That's not true. You're young in Christ, right? You've assisted, 40 missions agencies are connected with that U.S. Center for World Missions, too, as well. All focus on impacting the 1,600,000 unreached people groups. So will you give just a warm cornerstone welcome to Carrie as he comes and shares with us this evening.
Thank you, Pastor Peter. And I was so impressed with Peter's introduction and prayer last night and the whole service. There was revival last night in the house. The Lord was with us. And his spirit was poured out through the testimony that Tristan gave on through the whole program. And so God bless you in what you're doing. It's so wonderful to be with you. Thank you for this invitation to come to Cornerstone for this missions conference. So Peter, I want to thank you and Rob and Deborah, Jill and Angie on the church staff for all you guys have done to see this thing come off. And then all the elders and the deacons for serving. And then I'd like for every member of the missions team that's here to stand up. John Haynes, Mike Petty, Wynn Strickland, Doug Durham, Jennifer Henson, Joanne Jones, Susie Prochaska, and Kent Smith. Let's give them a round of applause and thank them for all this hard work. And you guys are doing this as a body of Christ, and you're having an impact because you've been faithful over the years. When we stand before the Lord, we'll only be judged on one thing, and that is whether or not we were faithful. 50 years ago, I had the privilege of meeting a distinguished man from India, and his name was Dr. Isaac John. He had earned his PhD in sociology. He was 20 years older than most of us at Dallas Theological Seminary. He had been to Asbury for 1 year, but he decided he wanted to finish his sacred Master of Theology degree at Dallas. And he came to our campus, and he had a burning passion to start a seminary in Asia to reach the whole world for Christ. And he said, in order to do this, though, we have to have a biblically holistic ministry. We've got to have piggeries, raise some of our own crops, raise some of our own cattle, have an orphanage ministry, a hospital ministry, a church planting ministry, a school for children. And all that was vision 51 years ago. He shared this vision with many others of every ethnicity on our campus, including me as one of the Native Americans or American citizen at that time. And we felt our hearts strangely warm because he said, once people get a taste for the pure word of God, they'll never be satisfied with anything less. And we knew how true that was because we were studying the scriptures every day and learning church history and had the honor and opportunity to learn some Greek and Hebrew, the biblical languages, and be coached in ministry and preaching and teaching. And we thought it'd be wonderful if these Asian countries had this. And so we formed the American Council of ACA India in 1974. Before I go further, I'm going to ask FJ to play a quick 2-minute video that shows you what it is today, this ministry. But it's very short snippets, very generic. Because of persecution of Christian in some of the Asian countries, we really can't say much of what we're doing, except emphasize the good works and the good help. But we have, by the grace of God, quite an extended ministry. Before COVID, I was going to the Asian Christian Academy and teaching church planning, missions, and evangelism every 2 years or so to our 120 seminary students that were enrolled, to a great number of those, a great majority of those. And you guys have prayed for me over the years, and I really appreciate it. And let's look now at their latest 2-minute video. Thank you, FJ.
There are many broad themes to describe the biblical story. One pair of themes that tells the Christian story and the story of the Asian Christian Academy is truth and love. Asian Christian Academy lives out its commitment to Christian truth and love in its commitment to theological education and social services. We are committed to truth as we train men and women through our pastoral training centers, undergraduate Bible college, and a postgraduate seminary in the truth of Christian scriptures. We are committed to truth as we create media content for the Christian community through our media ministry. We are committed to living out the love told in the Christian story in our service to society. We love the children of our community by providing them the best K-12 education we can offer through the Asian Christian High School. We love the children of poor families by providing food, clothing, housing, and an education through our House of Joy program. We love those who are suffering with sickness by caring for them at the Agape Hospital. We love special needs children and their families by serving them with behavioral, speech, and occupational therapies. Truth and love, the story of the Asian Christian Academy.
That's it, Michael. But short and sweet, right? The attention span for everyone will fit that. I love this goodie bag you guys have given. Carrie came up to me, Cammie's sister, and she said, I'm her twin sister. Peter, do you guys play tricks on each other with that twin sister thing? Oh, you have that? All right, fantastic. And I was so impressed with Peter's testimony last night of evangelism. And Peter, I hope that'll stick with me forever about how you want to take a wingman with you. And with two, by God's grace, you can do anything. So you guys are on fire for the Lord. Keep up the good work. But thank you for this. And I know every missionary is thankful and grateful. And you gave us gift cards and Chick-fil-A and Kroger, and my goodness, you made us feel loved. Thank you. Now, also, before I get into my message, visit these booths and tables and take the free stuff. I already grabbed a free book off the table next to me. And Matt has one. This, Your Hope for the 2020s and Beyond, Meeting God's Requirement, hopefully is a theological basis for what Tristan talked about last night, revival. This is something we've been praying about for years. And you guys prayed for me as I started our Nation Quest ministry thrust to help the nations find the blessings of God. I've got more under the table if they run out on top of the table. And I'd love for every one of them to be gone before the weekend's over. So visit all the booths and feel free to take anything at my booth. It's free of charge. And we want to provide that to you as a ministry. Now, Mike told me, and he's done a tremendous job coordinating this with the committee's fellowship. He said, want you to speak on the theme, compelled by the love of Christ. You may speak to whatever you would like, but please work in a little personal information as to how you came to be compelled to pursue missions, along with personal experiences along the way. So that's what I'm trying to do tonight. I'll try to share as many personal things as I can without boring you to death, but I appreciate this honor of wanting to share personal testimony, because the Bible says, Revelation 12:11, we overcome Satan by the blood of the Lamb, by the word of our testimony, and by not loving our lives unto the death. So thank you for this opportunity. And each one of us have a testimony if we're in Christ. Each missionary has a testimony, and be asking them about that as well. Now, I hope every one of you have one of these programs. I printed out old school in ink here, and feel free to keep these, take any extras that you want, make notes on them. And as we go through, it'll be sort of an outline for us. Take home is right. I had a grandmother that was from a generation that did not believe anyone could be good enough to go to heaven. My generation, the baby boomers, didn't believe anybody could be bad enough to go to hell. And this generation, thankfully, many are finding Christ because God's pouring his spirit out and they're seeking the Lord, and they'll find him if they seek for him all with all their heart. But the thing that sealed my grandmother's faith in Christ was she heard the song one day, "His eye is on the sparrow. And if he cares for the sparrow, he cares for me," she concluded. Now, her mother had been baptized in a river when my grandmother was around 10 or 11 years old. But shortly after that immersion, her mother died. And forevermore in her life, my grandmother Gunter was afraid of being immersed because she felt like that had a connection with her mom's death. So they joined the Presbyterian Church. And my mother, at the age of 14, heard Mrs. Dorothy Carlson at Ormwood Park Presbyterian, Delaware Avenue in Atlanta, which existed then and existed for over 100 years, read from the Gospel of Luke. And she said, "It's time I believe this." Now that's faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. You see, when you're exposed to the word of God in booklet form or personal testimony, and all of a sudden, "I believe. I'm going to accept this. The will is present with me," Paul said. "How to perform that which is good, I find not." So we don't have any ability to keep God's law. We don't have any ability to change. But we do have a God-given, built-in will. And when we're willing to be saved, God will do it if we seek him with all our heart. So she was to be baptized as a 14-year-old girl. And in the Presbyterian Church, they did it by sprinkling. And unknown to many of us, Presbyterians do it by immersion if you request. Methodists will do it by immersion if you request. But at her baptism, to be sprinkled, she broke down into tears and could not quit crying. And my grandmother Gunner said, "Jerry, quit crying. What's wrong with you?" The Bible says, "For godly sorrow works repentance to salvation, not to be repented of," 2 Corinthians 7:10. "But the sorrow of the world works death." My mom had experienced what true repentance is. She realized how much suffering Christ had to go through for her to be saved. And she was only a 14-year-old child. Now, whether you're young or old tonight, have you realized that yourself? That's the important thing of coming to Christ. So she began to grow. But one of the denominational missionary ladies came to her and said, "Miss Gunter, may I submit your name as a missionary candidate to our denomination?" And I think my mom was about 16 at that time. And she drew back. She said, "No, I don't think I'm ready for that yet." Now, she made some bad decisions in life. She got away from the Lord. But thankfully, the Lord never got away from her. And a Christian dentist, Dr. Sam Brown, recruited her to be his dental assistant. In those days, you didn't go to dental assistant school. You were trained as an apprentice by a real dentist. And he loved the Lord. He was from a Presbyterian background. He just loved to pull his Bible out and talk about prophecy and the return of Christ. And my mom didn't really like it that much. And he said, "Miss Gunner, do you think the Lord Jesus will be pleased to see you doing what you're doing when he returns?" She was, you know, had one foot in the world and one foot in Christ. That made her mad, but God began to work on her. And after going through some experiences, she began to grow in Christ and went with Dr. Brown to the Union Gospel Mission in Atlanta and taught black children in a 3 p.m. Sunday school class every week when she could with Dr. and Mrs. Sam Brown. So when she had us as her children, she said, "Lord, I'd want to dedicate every one of them to you and help them to do for you what I failed to do for you." Now, some of you may have experienced this. "Oh man, I failed God's calling. I failed to move into what he had for me. I dropped the ball here." God can redeem all of our mistakes if we'll come to him and lay it all on the altar. It'll take his patience and love, and may take a lot of time. And Jesus says, "If any man will come after me, let him take up his cross and follow me." So there's suffering involved in following Christ. That's the cost of discipleship. But my mom was faithful, and so she sowed God's word in our hearts from little children. She used to read one chapter of Psalms and one chapter of Proverbs every morning before I went to elementary school. And I about choked on my oatmeal. I did not want to hear that stuff. But you know, I think it kept me out of more problems at school and more temptations than any influence could have had, because God's word won't return void. Well, one night, she used to have family devotions with us, and my dad had been a nominal Christian, but he went forward in an evangelistic crusade that Billy Graham held in 1953 or so, and I think he really found Christ, but he didn't have men to disciple him, and so he didn't grow too much, and Mom would do a weekly devotional with us kids, and at that time, he didn't join us too often. He wasn't against it, didn't prohibit it, but this was an Easter time, and she told us about the death, burial, resurrection of Jesus Christ. And we were all moved to tears as we realized the suffering of Christ having to hang on that cross so I could go to heaven, so you could go to heaven, so any and all of us could go to heaven. And at the end of that family devotion, she said, "Children, would you like to receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior?" And each of us said we did. So we each prayed that. We went around the bedroom and sitting on their bed, and Mom was in a chair and Dad was in another room. And I think that's really when I accepted Christ as my Savior. I think it was shortly after that I decided, you know, I want to join the church, because I sit in church and these 12-year-olds my age were taking communion and I wasn't allowed to take communion. Mom said, "Get your hands out of that. You're not allowed." I said, "What do you have to do to take communion? I want some of that." And, you know, the bread and the wine. "Well, you've got to go through communicants class." "Okay, I'd like to do that." "Well, are you old enough to know what you're doing?" Well, she didn't think so. But she took me to the first 2.5 classes or whatever, and I think she lost interest, so we kind of quit for a while. But I said, no, Mom, I really want to join the church. Okay, we'll call the pastor over. And he came over, and he began to explain what it meant to be a church member, and said, now you'll come and shake my hand, and we'll give you the membership, free membership book, you know, on Sunday. I don't know if he used the word free or not, but I had deducted it was going to be free, so I like that. And but before he left, my sister came in, and she wanted to join the church. And then before she got through, my brother came into the living room, and he wanted to join the church. Well, I wasn't really happy about that, because I had pictured myself being the only one shaking the preacher's hand that Sunday morning and receiving the free membership book, and man, this was taking the limelight off of me. I didn't like that. So I don't think my motives were entirely pure. But when I was about 17, 18 years old, I heard Billy Graham on the radio. He used to come on from 10 to 10:30 p.m. on Sunday nights, the hour of decision. And he said, are you sure you're going to heaven when you die? I thought, man, I don't know. I sure don't want to go to hell. So I began to listen. Now, when I was 16, I'd had my wisdom teeth taken out. And the doctor or nurse, I think, forgot to pack my wisdom teeth holes. So all I could do was just spit up blood into the blood pan. So my pastor came in. By that time, we joined the little Methodist church, having moved up here to Grayson. And he said, well, how's Carrie doing? Mom said, I guess he's all right, but all he does is sit up and spit. He never says anything. I didn't have enough strength to say a word, but I could hear everything that was going on. So it took me 2 or 3 days to recover from wisdom teeth surgery after getting out of the hospital. In those days, you know, you went in for maybe a day or a night, but I was weak for 2 or 3 days. So I think they had failed to do it. But God had also saved my life when I was 5 years old. My mother took us to get our tonsils out. And my brother and I were in adjoining hospital beds or next to each other, only separated by a curtain when they drew the curtain. And somehow they cut a vein in my throat. Now, the doctors came in. They said, this is very serious. They tried to stop the bleeding. They gave me transfusions. My brother looked over in my bed and said, Mother, what's wrong with Carrie? He was 2 years younger than I was. Greg, you pray for him. He could die. And she told my father, he was a dry cleaner, and he came in from work one night up at, I think it was Atlanta Baptist Hospital, which later became Atlanta Medical Center. He said, Garland, we need to pray. We could lose our son. And it was at that time that my mother rededicated my life to Christ. Lord, he's yours. We can't keep him here, but only you can make sure he stays here. It reminded me of the story of the woman that didn't want her son to go to Vietnam. And some of her church people said, look, dedicate him to the Lord, give it up to the Lord, ask the Lord to protect him and for God's will to be done. But she couldn't bring herself to do that. She said, what if he dies? What if it's God's will to take him home? And she did not surrender him on the sacrifice altar to the Lord. Her son was killed in Vietnam. Whatever we're holding on to, we better make sure, like Abraham, we put it on the altar, because God can be much more trusted than any man and even ourselves. He loves and cares for us a lot more than we can care for one another or ourselves. If you're wrestling with anything like that tonight, or I'm wrestling with that, God wants us to know he can be trusted, and his will, even though we may not understand it, will have his peace that passes all assurance. So God saved me at 5. He saved me again at 16. At 16, I'd been reading the Tarzan books. I started at 13, and there were 24 of those books. Anybody ever read the Tarzan books as a young man? Okay, well, Ken has. I found out Billy Graham read all 24 of those books, and I didn't know that at the time. But it was a great picture of manhood in so many ways. And next to the Bible with Jesus Christ, I think it painted a great picture of what a man should be. Strong, and I wanted to be virile. I wanted to be conquering. And I didn't want to believe in Jesus Christ if he didn't really rise from the dead. I didn't want to be anybody's religious fool. I didn't want to believe in a religious myth. So I went through a period of doubt. And I went to church. I was involved in our Methodist Youth Fellowship. But if I wanted to stay at home one Sunday night, I'd kind of skip it, play in the pasture, something like that. Well, that night when Billy Graham asked the question, "Are you sure you're going to heaven?" it got my attention. And he preached Romans 3, 10 through 20, just a gospel message. That was his basic outline. And as he preached, I was so convicted. I said, you know, this is the spirit of truth. God tells us where we came from, Genesis. He tells us where we're going, Revelation. And he is the way, the truth, and the life. And in my mind's eye, I could see all my sins just like a ticker tape running over the head of Christ hanging on the cross. And I thought, Christ died for me. This is good news. So Billy Graham ended that message by saying, Lord, I pray many will come to assurance of salvation tonight. I cut off the light, lay on my back, said, oh, this is great news. But then the thought came to me, Carrie, what if you were to stand before God tonight and he opened the book of life and said, I'm sorry, your name's not here. Oh, Lord, look again. It must be out of alphabetical order. No, no, it's not here. Well, Mom was a great Christian. John chapter 1 is not of blood. See, being a believer is not something we inherit because our parents were believers or a parent was a believer. Well, Father, I've tried to do the best that I could. Not of works, lest any man should boast. All our righteousnesses are like filthy rags before God. Every excuse I could think of, Scripture was coming to mind to tear it apart. Now that's so important, or what you're doing here is so important, because you see, even though I was in a nominal Presbyterian church and a nominal Methodist church, the Word of God is sown every time it's spoken, every time it's related. I was talking to Levitt earlier this evening. He was raised in a Presbyterian church, and he mentioned the catechism. We had a little catechism, and you would memorize the questions. You would memorize the answers. It's based on the Word of God. You'd memorize the Ten Commandments. Who teaches the Ten Commandments anymore? Well, this is what worries me about revival, because you see, the Bible says, Psalm 19:7, the law converts the soul, and the testimony of the Lord makes wise the simple. It's only by the law of God that we see an x-ray into the evilness of our heart and our total depravity. And unless we come to conviction, we will never come to conversion. We have to have the faith of a little child. Jesus said, except you be converted, you cannot enter the kingdom of heaven. As a little child, he said. Well, that night, I had a wrestling in my soul. I was fighting. How can I tell church? I've joined the Presbyterian church. I'm now having joined the Methodist church at 15, and now I'm 17 or 18. That I've gone to church all this time, and I may not have been a true Christian. So pride, grace, but I was resisting it, you see. And it is resistible. It's not irresistible. You can resist the grace of God and end up in hell. And I felt that battle going on, and then I said, it's not worth going to hell because I'm too proud to get on my knees and say, Lord, if I've never received you as my Lord and Savior, I want to do that tonight. And I did that evening. And yes, the grass was greener the next day and the sky was bluer the next day. And I began to hunger and thirst for the Word of God. Now I read the Bible out of discipline. And I prayed out of discipline. And that's not bad. But notice what Peter says. As newborn babes desire the reasonable, logical, pure milk of the Word that you may grow thereby. I begin to hunger for the Word. I was talking with a young person here last night. And she told of how when she was reading a graphic novel about Jesus, she just began to hunger and thirst after these Bible stories. You see, that's what happens when we're truly born again. And so it came true what Paul says in 2 Timothy 1:5, when I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in you, which dwelt first in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that is in you also. But that faith just doesn't come without us accepting Christ for ourselves. And when I was at Dallas Seminary, Dr. Richard Sumi, our chaplain, he used to call me Gary. He said, Gary, he said, and he's a dear brother. He was on kidney dialysis machine, which is very rare to have that privilege in those days. Lord used him for years and years and years, a handsome man that adorned the gospel. He said, you know, as we get into our adult years, we have to trade in our childhood faith for our adult faith. Do that tonight if you haven't done that. Make sure whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved, and you can know you're going to heaven. When I was on my knees at night, the verse that came to mind was, he that believes on me has eternal life. And I went to bed that night knowing I was going to heaven. Not because I deserved it. I knew if I got what I deserve, I'd end up in hell. But because he promises, if we call on him, we'll be saved. Well, I entered college. And again, Billy Graham, a year or so later, whatever the date was, preached on Isaiah chapter 6. And I've printed out some of the verses, and you can go over those on your own. But on the back page of the handout, whom shall I send and who will go for us? Then I said, here am I, send me. Here am I, Lord, send me. I said, Lord, you've forgiven my sins. I have the joy of salvation. I'm so thrilled to be growing in Christ. I would sit up before going to bed reading Decision Magazine, which is published by the Billy Graham Association, reading Christianity Today, reading my Bible. I was hungering and thirsting for things of God. I said, what do you want me to do? And I felt the Holy Spirit saying, just keep doing what you're doing. You finish college. Now, you may be here tonight and God's been stirring on your heart, whether adult, young person, child. Say, okay, Lord, here I am, send me, I'm available. That's the step, that's all God's asking for us. Okay, now, Lord, what do you want me to do? And he'll tell you. He'll bring it about with wise counsel through scripture, through the conviction of the Holy Spirit in your heart. But as he does that, just do what he says. So I thought, well, that's easy. Not that school was easy, but I thought, you know, okay, I'll just keep doing what I'm doing. But then a friend of mine challenged me to go and get involved with Campus Crusade for Christ. And you guys have been involved in my missionary ministry more than maybe you ever know, because Rusty Wright, who used to be with Doug and you here at Stone Mountain Community and now Cornerstone Bible Church, was supported as a member of Campus Crusade for Christ. And he's the one that discipled me in college. So your support of him through prayers, giving, missionary conferences, impacted my life before you ever knew it. And I heard Doug and Tim both speak when I was in college saying, we're starting a new Bible church. I thought, this is great, because I was growing in the Lord and I wanted something, you know, that was biblical and fundamental and independent. And so I was looking for that. And I said, this is good. These are the kind of churches we need, Bible churches. Because the Son of Man has come to seek and save that which is lost. That should be our purpose in life. And these folks have a burden for that. So I got involved with Campus Crusade, and then a good friend of mine called Hutch Hutchins challenged me to go to Mexico for 4 weeks, Institute of Biblical Studies. Said, children, let's go down to Mexico and learn more about evangelism. I said, Hutch, we don't need to do that. We go every Thursday night to Georgia Tech, the leadership training course. He said, well, we need to learn more scripture. Well, I've already memorized the four laws. Well, we need more than that. Really? Yeah, well, I've already, you know, used the Holy Spirit booklet. Yeah, we need more than that. I said, well, I got to work. I'm building swimming pools, you know, construction work out in the sun. Got to make money for school. So I had this excuse, that excuse. He said, well, just promise me this one thing, children. I said, what's that? That you'll pray about it. I thought, man, that's easy. Okay, yeah, I'll pray about it. He left. He had told me our friends Cody and Lane were going, and I thought, this is good. I won't have to go. I picture Mexico as sand dunes and cactus and rattlesnakes and, you know, all this terrible thing. Well, it wasn't 5 minutes, though, till the Lord changed my heart, and I wanted to go. So I went, and we did suffer for Jesus. We were in Cuernavaca, the Garden City of Mexico. We were at a former resort hotel, Campus Crusade had bought and turned into a resort center. And during those 4 weeks, come about the second, third week, whenever it was, I told the Lord one evening, I said, Lord, your word's been scrubbing my heart like a scrub brush. And I realize there's nothing I can do to serve you. I don't have anything to offer you. I'm not worthy. I'll go ahead and, go ahead and be a doctor if I can and make as much money as I can and give to missions as much as I can, but you ain't got anything to use here. And then he brought the conviction to my heart. That's the point he'd been trying to bring me to. That's what Isaiah faced in Isaiah chapter 6. Isaiah saw the glory of God and said, woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips, for my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. And then one of the angels touched his tongue, cleansed him, purified him. Only then are we ready for service. So he said, behold, this has touched your lips, your iniquity is taken away, and your sin purged. Now we're ready to be used. So as I close this evening, God had brought that verse to mind, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. That was my calling. And so, by the grace of God, I've had the privilege of doing that. Went to Dallas Seminary, read that they were biblical, fundamental, independent in an advertisement of Christianity Today. Met Dr. Isaac John. He sent Joy Cuddy and me to spy out the land in 1975. He said, you got to bring back a report, Kerry, as a Westerner, because if I just send Indians over there, Americans won't just believe Indians. They think we're money grubbing. So Joy Cuddy says, we brought back a good report because we were the two spies and not the 10 spies. And so what you've seen in the video, the rest is history. And it's bigger than any of us could have asked or thought, and it's everything we imagined and more. How does God want to use you? If you're doing exactly what he wants you to do, keep doing it, because you have a part in the life of people like me and others. If you're not, now's the time to do it. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Our Father and our God, we come to you. Help every heart, every eye closed, every life to be searched by your Holy Spirit, so that any of us that have anything we haven't put on the altar will do that tonight and say, Lord, here am I, send me. And then we can be blessed and be a blessing and know our reward is great in heaven. We ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you, Kerry. It's a wonderful story, and I know you only told a part of it, probably, of how God has been working through your life, even since you were 6 years old, and just even from your mother and your grandmother. So thank you for sharing that, because we each have a story like that.
Amen.
And you can have a part in God's greater story that is something that will last for all eternity. You can impact a life, not just for today, but forever, and to be a part of that kingdom that is to come. So thank you very much for that, brother. Our next speakers tonight are Kingsley Sautel, Grace Kirkwood, and Logan O'Neill. You guys can start walking up here. These three individuals have gone on one or more short-term missions trips to the Caribbean Christian Center for the Deaf in Jamaica. I'm going to let them kind of explain the details. I actually have like this big old paragraph, but last night I found out that I said everything that Susie wanted to say, and so I need to not do that. So will you give a warm cornerstone welcome
to Kingsley Sautel, Logan O'Neill, and Grace Kirkwood.
Okay. Hello, everyone. My name is Kingsley Sautel. Many of you know me. You've heard me talk about Caribbean Christian Center for the Deaf many times before. I first went down to the Caribbean Christian Center for the Deaf in 2015, loved it so much, returned in 2017, then 2019, and then was planning to go back in 2021 with the church, but obviously COVID happened and traveling was still not a thing in 2021. But we were able to go last November, and we're going to be telling you a little bit about the trip today, but I really wanted to leave that to Grace and Logan to talk about the trip, but I did want to mention that I've built several wonderful relationships with the students and the staff and the missionaries that are based at the school, and it has been very special to me to maintain those relationships over the years. Many of the students who you'll actually probably see in the video, I met as students in 2015, and they are now off working either with Deaf Can or at the Deaf Village, and it has been so encouraging to me to see them overcome the different challenges that they've faced and now working and have graduated from the school. So I was very pleased to be able to go back last November. Most of you prayed for me, because at the end of October I kind of had a bad fall off my horse and tore my ACL and jacked up my knee a bunch. But the one thing is, it was not going to do was stop me from going on this trip. I was going. Grace and Mr. Petty both heard about my accident and were like, you are going no matter what. And I did go, and that trip was exactly what I needed in that moment. I was able to see old friends. I was able to see the missionaries there, and it was more of an encouragement to me, I think, than I was an encouragement to them. So I just wanted to thank you guys for praying for me while I was down there, because my knee was swollen, it was hard to walk, but I made it, and it was such an encouragement to me to go down there. So I did want to mention that. So we're going to show a quick 7-minute video that Grace put together. Not sure what's in it, but hopefully it shows you a good overview of our trip and some pictures, and then both Logan and Grace are going to share.
And one quick note for people who haven't heard about the organization before, CCD, as Kingsley said, is a school for the deaf, and on there they have a coffee shop where the deaf students can learn skills, and then a lot of them will go out and work at other coffee shops or other bakeries or whatever. So if you see this logo, it's Deaf Can Coffee. So that's a sign for coffee, so just to make sure that's clear.
And the video is not going to be live streamed because it has pictures of the kids in it. So just,
yeah.
So hello, my name is Logan O'Neill, and I went on the missions trip with everyone, and it was an experience, I have to admit. This was my first missions trip, so I didn't know what to expect, and going to Jamaica, of course, is far different than Georgia. Used to my 40-degree weather, go down there, and it's 70 degrees at night, 90% humidity most of the time, and but it was a blast doing it with everyone. We got one time, me and Mr. Doug, we had to take out some of the remaining bits of a speed bump and fill the concrete back in. Now, I've never done anything with concrete, so I was kind of relying on him. And then the security guard kind of came in and was like, do you guys need some help? And so we figured it out, and we got the photo. We got it all good. Put a bunch of rebar in, so that thing should be set for a while. And then, let's see, I was I love the food in Jamaica. It was truly amazing. I never tried goat before, but I liked it. Tried ox, tried shrimp. I love shrimp. It's amazing. And then we went to some different campuses. We stayed at the Kingston one, and it was a blast getting to be with all the children, and they had a playground, so I got to swing on the swings a little. And then we got to see all the classrooms. They taught us some sign language in the classrooms. It was really cool. And then we went to the Deaf Village, and we got to see all where they pick the coffee beans. We got to see cows. We got to see some nice dogs. I love the dogs. They were my favorite part. And we got to hang out, see how they pick the coffee beans. And you always pick the red ones because those are the ripe ones. I figured out not to pick the green ones because I was picking the green ones. And then, what else? Then we went, the kids. The kids at the campus were truly just, they loved on you tremendously. That every time they were released from their classes, they'd always kind of walk by us and see what we're doing. And then when it was time for dinner, we'd all come together and they would just have a blast with us. They loved playing soccer and basketball. Two favorite sports. Insanely talented at it too. We were playing basketball, and I was like, okay, I'm not the best at basketball, but they're going from like here all the way to the clock back there, shooting it and getting it in the net and everything, and I'm just like, okay, I'll try. But then they love soccer. They made soccer goals out of rebar, and just it's the tiny goals over 1-to-1, and so every time you kick and score a goal, the kids would just have a fun time running after the ball and bringing it back, kicking it back in, and we all just play around. And they're really fast sometimes. Quick feet. I couldn't keep up with them. But, and then, let's see. They loved on us, and they loved playing Uno. They love playing the game Uno and making their own rules, too. Sometimes I'll play a +4, and they'll be like, no, 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 you can't play that. I'll play a +4. I'd be like, okay. But all the kids were so sweet. They always wanted to be with us and wanted to see what we were doing. And they were just always excited. And that's something I love to see because excitement is one of my favorite things. And they always, whenever they came to see us, like they would run over and be like, you want to play? They'll want to do chalk, want to put stickers on our faces. Their faces would just be light up and have a blast with us. And I had a blast with them. And so, yeah. Thank you.
Hello. I'm going to move this. Hope that's okay. If it's not, sorry. I just want to say real quick, I'm sorry the audio is so bad from the interview. We were doing it in a car on my crappy phone. Bad audio. But I really, really enjoyed this trip. My bad. I was in some specific situations which I wasn't expecting, but I was very thankful to God for putting the right people to help resolve those situations and make it all go smoothly instead of it just getting really out of whack. But one of my favorite things about the trip was Zandria. She was somewhere in the show. She's the deaf team coordinator there. And I got to act as her little interpreter. And that was so much fun because I just graduated with a sign language interpreting degree. And while ASL and JSL are very different, they're also very similar. So I really enjoyed just being able to hang around her and help, well, not really help, but just hang out with her. It was funny, when I got on the plane to come back home, I sat down in my chair and it felt really weird not having someone there to sign with, because whenever we traveled, I was usually around a deaf person and we'd just be chatting, and then I was like, ah, I don't know you. Goodbye. But it was a very good trip.
Was I supposed to mention anything else?
I will say one more thing. I was so very glad to have been gone. I'm so sorry. To have been able to go on the trip with Rick. It was really good to have him there, both for him and for all of our sakes, in my opinion. It was interesting, though, because we tried to play Don't Lose Rick, and then we kept losing Rick. We'd go somewhere, and we'd be like, he was here, and now he's gone. And when we were coming back, we went, made it through security or customs, and we went, we don't know where Rick is at all. That's him on the right. But it was really, really good. I'm sad that he passed so soon, because I remember him talking about how he thought he had one last trip in him, and he was going to come down one more time, and I was really excited for that. But he's in a better place. But that was something that was, both that and having the service for Andy were both very special moments on the trip.
Okay, so just to wrap up, I'm going to give a little update about Def Can from Seth, one of the missionaries down there, and then also give some prayer requests for Def Can and for CCCD at the Kingston campus specifically. I don't know if we mentioned, but there are a couple other campuses on the island of Jamaica. We specifically go down to the Kingston campus, and we have built relationships there, so that is where we always go. But while we're on the trips, we usually always take a trip to the Jamaican Deaf Village and to the other campus, which is a little bit bigger, the NotPatrick campus. So the Deaf Can coffee business has been growing the last couple years, which is awesome. They're very excited about it, but it is also very stressful and overwhelming. So they would just like prayers for finding the right balance between work and rest and knowing when to say no. They get asked to do lots of presentations and go to different coffee shops for trainings, and so just finding the right balance for their staff would be what they need help with. And then also just for maintaining healthy relationships with each other and building each other up. And that they will always be an example of Christ to anyone they come in contact with, whether that's other staff members that don't know the Lord or customers or other businesses that they're working with, just that they would represent Christ well doing those things. And then specifically for the school, they have about 20 students on campus now, which is a little bit lower than past years, so prayers that they would get more students to live on campus, specifically younger children, like ages 3 to 12, just because it's so imperative for them to start getting an education as soon as they can and learning sign language, because many of those children are born into hearing families and don't have the opportunities to start learning sign language. So just that they would be able to get younger students so that they can start teaching them sign language and also start sharing the gospel with them. They also would like to hire a house father. They have many house mothers that take care of the children, but just having a male that would be there to be there as a male figure for the boys while they're away from the father figures in their house. And they also are in need of a new bus. So that is something that they desperately need. And then just for prayers for peace and professional support for the emotional turmoil that the students continue to navigate. COVID was a really hard time for them because they were sent home with their families and they didn't have anyone to really to communicate with. So a lot of their mental health suffered. So just things like that, keeping those things in mind. And I can also talk with you specifically if you need more specific things. So that is what I have for prayer requests. If any of you guys are interested in coming down in the fall with us, we would be happy to have you. Don't let the fact that we're going down to a deaf school intimidate you. The children are used to communicating with people who don't know sign language, and you might even pick up a few signs while you're there. Our trips are very heavily focused on relationships and figuring out how we can come alongside the students and the missionaries and the dorm moms there and encourage them, because at the end of the day, we're not there 24/7. We're there for a week or two at a time, whereas they're there full time. So whatever we can do to make them feel encouraged and loved and supported and know that they have a support system supporting them is what we really like to focus on. I don't think we mentioned it, but like we took the dorm moms out to dinner. We always try to do something special for them and the staff there. So just, it's not all about work or anything, so don't think you're too old or don't have any skills to offer, because you don't need any of that. You just need like a willing heart. So that is all I have for you guys today. Thank you.
I have one more thing. Grace in Jamaica has started making me a chicken sandwich on step one by killing a chicken at Jamaica. She beheaded the thing, and they asked, do you want to come do it? And she's like, sure. Now, we all sort of turned away, but we heard it, and it was very interesting sight to see.
Actually, I actually walked with Grace over there and saw her chop the chicken's head off. It was gruesome, and she loved every moment of it. Thank you, Kingsley, Grace, and Logan. Our last speaker tonight is Jennifer Henson. Jennifer is one of our ministry leaders for the Good News Club, which we hold here at Cornerstone on Mondays. Kids from across the street at Camp Creek Elementary can sign up for a Christian club at school with their parents' approval, and we get to share the gospel with them and teach them God's word. So will you please give a warm welcome to Jennifer here?
Yeah, and Christy. So Christy is actually my partner, and I volunteered her into it a couple years ago with me, and then she actually works for Good News Club now. So I'm going to let her speak first, and then I'll add on.
Okay, thanks. So I want to start by telling you something that happened a long time ago in 1877, but it's still impacting lives today, even in our Lilburn, Georgia. It was 1877, and there was a 12-year-old boy, and he grew up in a Christian home, and at the age of 12, he felt the burden of his sin, the guilt of his sin. And he went to his mom for counsel. And he was told, son, you're too young. So it was not until college that he heard the gospel and he prayed to receive Christ. He later became a pastor. And his name was Jesse Irvin Overholtzer. And he was the founder of Child Evangelism Fellowship. So if you don't know, Child Evangelism Fellowship is the parent organization for Good News Club. So that's why I'm telling you about CEF today. Well, when he was a pastor, he heard a sermon by Charles Spurgeon, and this statement stood out to him. Charles Spurgeon said, a child of five, if properly instructed, can as truly believe and be regenerated as an adult. So at the age of 60, Reverend O, as he's called, founded Child Evangelism Fellowship, and that is today the largest evangelistic outreach to children in the world today. Our purpose, as you can see on the screen, is a Bible-centered worldwide organization composed of born-again believers whose purpose is to evangelize boys and girls with the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ and to establish, disciple them in the local church. So you see, we're sharing the gospel, and we're also connecting them with the local church and wanting to see them grow in their faith. I love how his experience as a child, God used that, even though it delayed his receiving Christ, God used that to put that burning in his heart for the children today. Now there are 3,500 missionaries internationally. 3,400 of those are nationals, and we know one of them because Jennifer and I learned last night when we were listening to Petrus on their video interview, said their son, Mark Petru, with the Petaluma Ministry, is on CEF staff. So, yay, another connection. So there's a lot of things offered through Child Evangelism Fellowship. I want to give you a quick list of those. Is just that there's training. CEF takes the training of the volunteers and teachers very seriously. Every volunteer is trained annually, and there's a CEF Teaching Ministry Institute for further training, which I've experienced one of their classes, and they're phenomenal. There's also five-day clubs. We had five of those in Gwinnett County this summer, and there are podcasts called Teach Kids for parents and teachers, helping them to evangelize and disciple children at home and in the classroom. There is a Unite TV platform you can find with lots of Bible teaching videos for children. And of course, you know about the Good News Clubs. There are currently 22 of those in Gwinnett County. So that is CEF in a nutshell. Now let me zoom in a little bit on our Good News Club Gwinnett Countywide. So we are hoping in the next school year, beginning in the fall of 2023, to begin 5 to 7 more clubs. We need volunteers and we need church sponsors. Of course, Cornerstone is a church sponsor and we have a hefty team of volunteers. But if you are here from another church, or if you know friends in other churches, please don't hesitate to get the word out. Brag on Good News Club and what's happening with the kids at Camp Creek Elementary School through this club. We need more volunteers and more churches to step up. Also this summer, we're going to be offering a Go and Tell training, which is teaching 2nd through 5th graders how to share the gospel using the wordless book. Train them up and let them go and tell their friends and their neighbors. So excited about that. April 27th, we're having a fundraiser. It'll be a golf tournament. So if we have any golf players in the audience, there's a on the table to the left, you can see our flyer to get more information, and you can sign up if you want to know more about it. We also are looking for more board members. If anyone is interested in helping to guide the organization, we would love to talk to you about that. And we need prayer partners. That is the fuel behind all of this, you know, is what God does when his people pray. We have a prayer ministry strong here through our prayer chain at CBC. However, there's also a larger scale prayer ministry going on. So please sign up if you're interested in that at the table. And I want to share with you a testimony about an answered prayer I read from our CEF magazine today, and I was so touched. Just think about the power of prayer here. There was a Good News Club meeting and in an area. I don't know where it was. And there were some teenagers that were coming to the club meetings, and they were being very disruptive. So through this prayer ministry, they were prompted not to pray and ask God for the children not to come back, for the teenagers not to stay away, but to pray for them. So they prayed specifically, God, please bring them just one at a time so that they can hear the gospel and move on their hearts. And God did that. The next day, the ringleader of the group came alone. He sat and listened quietly. He paid attention and participated. And they give praise to God. And that was the power of prayer. So thank you for all the many times and ways that you've prayed for us. Please keep that up and join our prayer ministry at large also if you would like to. So as the area coordinator, I have seen a lot of different clubs in Gwinnett County. And it's been so exciting to see the word of God just taught to these children and how responsive they are. But I also want to tell you, it's been shocking to see how little so many children know about the Bible. At one club, I asked the children, can you tell me someone that we read about in the Bible? And they could not tell me. Finally, one child said, God? Yes. So Bible literacy is so important, and in Good News Clubs, they are getting the gospel and they're getting to know God's word. Some other questions that are coming up from the kids, they're asking about gender and sexuality. Praise God for bringing them to club where we can give them answers from the Bible. We have children asking, is Christianity compatible with other religions? I'm so glad that you asked me that. Let me show you what it says in God's word. So there are so many good things happening at our clubs all around. I want to share one more thing with you, and then Jennifer's going to give you a little closer-in view of specifically our club at Camp Creek. But the current president of CEF shared his testimony, and there was a verse that meant a lot to him, which prompted him to get involved in children's ministry, and it came from Lamentations chapter 2:19. And it says, lift up your hands to God for the lives of your children who faint from hunger at every street corner. I know this passage is speaking about the children of Jerusalem who were suffering because their parents had rebelled against God again and again, and now their land was being invaded. They were facing exile and enemy army invasion. I know our children aren't facing that, but our children are hungry. They are hungry and starving all around us for the word of God. So please join us in praying for these children and for Good News Clubs to be in more and more schools, not only here in our county, but around the world. Jennifer.
Thank you.
That's absolutely true, guys. And in fact, we used to be in more schools, correct? In Gwinnett. So we, post-COVID, we lost a lot of schools. So we really need to be in prayer about that. And small testimony, this lady has transformed in the last couple of years. She has come out of her shell and into her, so much more of her purpose for what God made her for. And I'm very proud of her. I'm very thankful she's my friend. But I have some pictures up here. And you guys see Miss Pam Smith up there. She was one of our volunteers, and I was so excited about her coming back next year because she was taking a year off to be with Chip, her grandson. And just the day that I found out she was with Jesus, I was thinking, I'm so excited Pam's coming back next year. But since Pam's not coming back, it's going to be one of y'all. So start thinking about it, because our clubs are fun. We get to have a lesson. We get to sing and worship the Lord. We get to give the kids Bibles. Because of all you, all the kids in our club have a Bible. I don't know if that's true of every club, but I'm really thankful. And we're constantly reminding the kids that your Bible is to be used, and it is to be underlined and highlighted, and it should be something that doesn't sit on a shelf. And they're bringing questions, like Christy said. And I was thinking when Carrie was sharing about Jesus's arms out, and one of the kids, we put up a slide as we were doing the lesson, and it was actually Christy was teaching, and it was Jesus crucified, and he got up and left the room and went into the RT room. And so I can't be alone with him, so I stood in the doorway, and I was like, what's going on, Isaiah? And he's like, that scares me. Why did they do that to him? And I got to share with him how much Jesus loved him and that he was willing to do that for Isaiah. And those are the kind of opportunities that we don't get otherwise if we're not there. So please keep praying. I want you specifically to be praying about what next year looks like. We do have a bunch of volunteers in our club, but I can tell you all of the volunteers that are here say we would need more. So it would be great to have more, but it would be even better if you could start praying as we enter into March, particularly for our fifth graders. I'm just really impressed in my heart that they are going into a difficult season next year as they enter into sixth grade. And will you please be prayerful for, we have about 10 fifth grade girls and about 12 fifth grade boys. You won't know their names, but the Lord does. Please be praying for their hearts and that they would bring up questions that they have and that they would make a commitment if they haven't already this next month so that they can be prepared for what's coming before them in middle school. Also, I think I need a couple more snack helps through March. So if anybody wants to bring snacks or water bottles, that'd be great. But like I only need 3 clubs worth, and there are 67-ish kids coming. So if you bring it and stick it in the kitchen, put Good News Club on it, that'd be awesome. Small water bottles, because more than that gets wasted. But that'd be awesome. Thanks so much.
I'm going to ad-lib for a second while Marinella gets herself at the piano. It's been great to hear tonight and, of course, last night. And, you know, it really brings our heart to know that God is allowing us to hear these, because it gives us just great inspiration. And we're going to sing a song for our last hymn that is so great. It's "We Have a Story to Tell to the Nations." So let's stand with me for our closing hymn.
Story.
Thank you, Jay. Thank you, Marinelle. I have a few announcements, so if you could just stand for a second or sit, you know, hokey pokey. What is it? Do the hokey pokey and turn yourself around. You guys can sit. That's fine. I'm going to only be like a minute. Don't worry. I want to remind you that tomorrow is church. If you forgot that today is Saturday, so get some good sleep tonight. I want to tell you that first hour, we have some special speakers. We're not going to be live streaming it, unfortunately. So those of you at home, you're not going to be able to see it just because there's some sensitive information that's being shared. But Aaron and Lydia Farmer will be speaking, as well as Gene Purvis and Scott Gardner. We also have some updates from the families of the Whites, the Schmidts, and the Conklins. And remember that we have a potluck tomorrow after church, but you have to bring food to it, okay? So if you could bring a little bit extra, our missionaries aren't bringing stuff, so we got our missionaries here. If you could bring some extra food tomorrow. And during our regular service, we're going to have like a regular service, but we have a special speaker tomorrow. Brian Hamilton of AFCI will be speaking. Yeah, he's pretty good. He's pretty good, yeah. We like him. So please come tomorrow and worship with us. Those of you online, the second hour service will be live streamed, so you're welcome to join us as well. The last announcement for tonight, if those of you who aren't tired and have to go home, we need some help just kind of cleaning stuff up over here after the meal. So if you have just a little bit, Jennifer says just a little bit. So if there's a few of you that can help out after service, please make your way over to the fellowship hall. We'll get that ready for tomorrow so that we can have a beautiful potluck as well. Let me pray right now, and then afterwards you are dismissed. Father God, we worship you today. Thank you for Carrie and for Kingsley and for Grace and Logan, as well as Christy and Jennifer just sharing what God is doing in their lives and also here at our church. And we just pray that your Holy Spirit would continue to move here at Cornerstone, as well as in our state of Georgia, as well as in our country of this United States of America, as well as around the world, Lord. Let your Holy Spirit cause a revival to bring many people to Christ, both young and old, Lord. We pray that your name would be glorified, that the gospel go out, and that people will be followers. They die to themselves and give themselves to Christ and carry their cross for you, Lord. Lord, we worship you. We thank you for this night. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. You are dismissed.